Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, and we say thank you and lead
lead your service today, Lord. We love you and we look forward to what you want to do today, Father. We are so looking forward to seeing you face to face today. Today, even today, Lord, face to face. And we thank you for the bride. We thank you that we're brides. We thank you that you've called us the bride of Christ. And Father, I pray that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Woo! Roaring like a lion, roaring. I love that lion roar. So I want to welcome Jerry and Nick and Joe and Tawna and Pat.
Hi,
hello,
guys.
Everybody.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi,
all. Hi, everybody.
Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Shout out.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Love you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
How's everyone?
Jerry, Nick, Joe, Mama Pat, Beauty.
Hi, sweeties.
Hi, Chap. Love you. Hi,
hi loves.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, sweetie.
It's just nice to know each other's names and to call each other by name. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 guests in the chat room. Guests, we're really happy you're here with us. Make a name so we can call you by name, even if it's a fake name. Welcome, Stacy. Welcome, Blah. Hello, Kishon and Chris and Bill and Rojo and Roman and Jerry's in the chat room and he's on the phone. He's by locating. God bless everybody today. Happy Memorial Day, Lord. We thank you for all those that have given their service to this country, Father. We thank you. Bless all the families and the people today that are celebrating. And we love you, Jesus. We love you. Put your great blessing on all the families and all of our service people, men and women. Bless them where they're at right now and the ones that have died for this country, God. God bless them. Be with their families and you know, God, everybody, let's see. Anyone else popping in? I'm sure more people will pop in. It is a holiday. I hope everyone's been having a good holiday. Let's also welcome
Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
How are you feeling today, Keith?
Yesterday was really rough. I'm recovering from yesterday. Feeling better. Usually by midday, things turn around, though. So.
Oh, good.
But I'm glad to be on RCC today. Hope everybody's
yeah.
doing good.
Good.
Aw, well, thanks for being here, even when you're not feeling so well. You're always a blessing to us, and it's not the same when you're not here. You know, when he's here, most of the time he's doing well, yeah. Most of the time he's not, but look, he comes in and he's faithful and he blesses us with what he does have. And that's an encouragement. You know, I was in my yoga class today and the yoga instructor, him and his wife, they're beautiful people. He's, I think, 57. The teacher, he's owned the studio for 20 years. He really loves, I call him a minister to the body. That's what I call him. And he put pictures of Jesus in the studio for me because he knows I love Jesus. So he has crosses in Jesus. He also has Buddhas and everything,
cool.
but you know, he believes in every spirit, but he knows I love Jesus, and I've been going there for almost 4 years now, and something happened in there today. He was talking about, you know, how him and his wife, because he's just been married recently, and then they just had 2 little kids. It's just been, you know, maybe 3 years now, they had some good friends who decided that because they did Bikram yoga that they were demonic. He said, yeah, some people from the church just call us, say that we're following devils and demons, and, you know, so all of a sudden they hate us and they don't want to talk to us. And he goes, it's really sad when that happens. Because, you know, we all have our demons, but we're just doing the best we can in this world. And I just felt the pain of God's heart when people are ignorant and don't know, you know, and they accuse people of, you know, this Bikram yoga that I do, it's called Hatha Teet yoga. It has nothing to do with chanting. If people want to turn it into religion, they do. But this particular yoga, it's all about 120-degree heat, and you do these wonderful shapes and stretches, and that's what's been able to allow me to stay an athlete. I'm 45, and, you know, like, before I became Raptor-centric, I was doing 100-mile bike rides. No problem, and that's what the Lord led me to 4 years ago. He led me into this studio, and I've always loved it. I've had Christians say that it's wrong, but I laugh my head off because our God is everywhere, and I've been praying to the Lord Jesus Christ that I would levitate by the power of Jesus, in the studio to tell everyone about Jesus in my power. They love me there because he sends me energy. Most people call me smiling there. They're like, he's always smiling, you know? So, anyway. But, what happened today is there was another thing I forget that happened in the studio. What was it? But, you know, people everywhere, they know that the Lord's coming. The teacher, he's a real funny guy, so he's like a comedian. So during yoga, he makes us laugh a lot. And you're not really allowed to talk, so he does all the talking, and then we just laugh. But he's always lately, and you know, since I've been going back, the Lord allowed me to go back recently, and he's been talking about the end of the world and the new age that's coming. And so it's very interesting, you know, he's like, if you want to survive it, you've got to be fit. I mean, this Obamacare is not going to save you. You guys have to get healthy and whole. And you know, if you're sick, I'm telling you, this kind of yoga, it really helps me. I'm telling you, if you stretch in the heat, it's so good. My sister does it. She doesn't have, she feels great now that she's been doing it. And I'm only bringing it up to say that the Lord is so gracious to give us so many different ways. While we're in this sinful, horrible world, it's so unhealthy. He gives us ways to maintain our health. This is one of the ways he used for me.
Yoga's a great sport. You know, it's very popular in L.A., and that Qigong yoga is wonderful. It's wonderful that heat really helps a lot. It's definitely a great thing for the body, and there's nothing demonic about it unless you're going there worshiping. Unless you're going there, like, with another doctrine, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's like you can go anywhere. You can go to a bookstore and listen to some doctrine, and then, yeah, that would be wrong. But it's just a sport. I think people don't understand it. That's why I think they just
That's what it
jump
is. They're
all
ignorant.
Over. It's crazy.
It's a relaxing technique to just calm down,
I know.
In their ignorance, they're afraid of a demon in every corner, and that's typical of Christians that are fearful. Because they don't know how big their God is. So I don't really down them for it. It's just ignorance. You know, I was once, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've been 28 years. I used to think that everything was the devil, too. And, you know, the Lord changed me on that. You know, and the Lord, you know, God wants people everywhere. He wants his people everywhere, you know. And I know that I'm a light there. And I think it's interesting that he called me back to the studio. And I just think it has something to do with me telling them about the rapture. I'm just shining my light right now, but a few people are curious about some of the things I say. After class, we sit on the bench outside to cool down, and we kind of have, you know, kind of conversations here and there. But anyway, everywhere you go, just shine the Lord's light till he gets here.
Wow.
He is coming.
Right.
And I want to welcome Jason, and I want to welcome Stacy to the chat room. Jason, Emily, hi. Emily.
Hey, guys.
Emily is our 15-year-old. I hope she shows up. We love her.
Yeah.
Jason,
Emily.
We tell her we said hi. And who else showed up?
Yep.
Anyone else? Okay. And Roman, of course. Roman, our dearest Roman. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Really,
hi, Roman.
Encourage him.
Love you, Roman.
Yeah. Check out Roman's videos he's been making lately. He's just very good videos and insightful and full of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Roman.
Yeah.
Keep making those videos and keep walking on water. You know, we all want to see it. So.
Romo.
That's right. Did you hear what Tana said there? Say it again, Tana.
That was I love you. That was I love you in Russian. Yache bilbu, Romo. Yache bilbu, Romo. He taught me how to say it.
Oh,
wait,
sweet.
I
want to hear it one more time.
Yeah, she, Bill, Roma.
Yeah,
she, Bill, Roma. Yeah, she, Bill, Blue is I love you, and then Roma is Roma.
Je t'aime beaucoup, ma chérie, amour, Roman.
That's so sweet.
French.
I'll just say hi, Roman.
You can say you love Roman and then
That is hilarious. You know what? This is a supernatural meeting. Us getting together and receiving one another with the love of Christ and loving our Lord and loving his appearing and then loving one another. This is a supernatural gathering we have until he gets here. This could be our last church service. And I'm always... amazed at the anointing that comes on when I click on. You know, even like in the last couple of days, I wasn't able to be on the show because I was out of town doing different things with different family members. And right when I would click on the chat room, I would feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit who's dwelling among us, see, because two or more gather and there's love here. And I'm feeling it really strong, and the Lord's reminding me that this is a, I don't take it for granted, this supernatural gathering. I've been in the Lord 28 years. It's really hard finding a body of people. In fact, I've never found one. But we have it now at the end of time, right before he comes back.
Yeah.
He decided to make a church where Jesus Christ is truly our leader. He's truly our pastor. He's allowed us to come together. Since he is the pastor, he allows many viewpoints, and he allows people to speak. It's not, nobody has to be approved by an elder to come up and speak. So we look forward, all the people on the phone. I think Jerry is, I'm excited because Jerry, God has been speaking to him about the horse theme, about the horses. We've been talking about horses and revelations, and I know he's excited, or I'm actually excited. I don't know if he's excited, but he wanted to share a little bit more about the horses.
I'm excited.
So we're looking forward to hearing about that. And Keith, maybe you'll do a teaching. Grandma Pat, I know she'll share. Tana always has lovely things to say. Are you going to work tonight, Tana? Are you here to stay, Tana, or are you going to work? Oh, she might already be driving. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully Tana will share, too. The morning show was excellent. I had heard it in the archives. Thank you, Carol. It's just beautiful how we can gather and encourage one another. And Rita, I guess Rojo said, Rita told us this morning that she had a dream that RCC is in the upper room now. God took her up steps to a room and told her we are waiting there. Wow.
Rita's
a powerful warrior for Christ. She spends so much time in prayer. I love Rita. Thank you, Rita. Thank you, Rojo, for bringing that word from Rita. I couldn't be in the chat room this morning. I had to take my sister to work, so I missed that. So thank you. Keep us posted on anything, Rojo, or anybody that knows stuff that went on in the chat room. I'd love to hear that. She said Rhea can explain more, and I bet you Rhea will pop in when she can. So that's wonderful. Also, I was talking a little bit to a brother today, and he was saying the same thing about the profound, the love that's found here in the unity is what I sense. It's the unity here at RCC.
Yeah.
It's just lovely. It's, you know, if you're having a bad day, you pop in the chat room and you can talk to us. We'll bless you. You know, we all get weary and tired, and it's just a place where you're going to have people love on you. I want to welcome Gemma. Gemma just popped in.
Hi, Gemma.
And I'm really glad Jason made it. You know, I know I already said that, but Jason, we love you. Jason popped in late night chat around 11. But anyway, Jerry, I was hoping you wouldn't mind starting us off here, unless anyone's burning with anything to say. Jerry had a bit of insight on horse later. Okay.
Maybe it's better. Last time I had to wait to call in, and then I was kind of thrown off because everybody was talking about races, and I had been preparing in my mind for a couple of days to come in and talk about a horse race. It was like, wow, this is, I was a little off center just, you know, by observing that. Well, so did anybody get a chance to watch that movie, Secretariat, that we talked about the other day?
I've seen it a while ago, yeah.
I saw it a while ago.
I know Tana did because she was watching it in chat last night. She was coming back and forth telling us about the movie in chat. So
Tana
was on the line.
Cool.
She just hung up, but yeah.
Okay. Well, and you know, I am kind of excited. I went back over this. I kind of pulled this together a while ago, and you know, the movie was released in 2010, which was when I actually first had any significant awareness, sort of a biblical perspective on Secretariat. And I'm not a big horse race follower, so that was kind of new to me. And then the movie came out, and to kind of quickly review, you know, Secretariat won the Triple Crown in 1973. He did it in an unprecedented way. He was an extraordinary horse, not just a really good racehorse.
And in the end, it was determined that every race he ran in the Triple Crown, he set a record. His winning margin in the last race, which is the longest one, was unprecedented in the length of the victory, which was 31 lengths, and also the time at that particular race, which was 2 minutes 24 seconds. And even at the time, they go, that record may never be broken. And it certainly hasn't been. One of the things that really struck me about it, I'll come back to those numbers in a little while, but one of the things that really struck me about it was that this race was almost, the final race in the Triple Crown in 1973 was almost to the day 6 years after Israel recaptured Jerusalem in 1967. Later that year, in 1973, they had the Yom Kippur War, and that war is the one that has come closest to actually destroying Israel since its rebirth in 1948. I have some information that's actually about that, and I think if I successfully get through it, you'll see why I think it's so important. Basically, what I see here is sort of a pattern of 6 years and then a seventh year. And that's kind of how this played out. In 1967, the prime minister of Israel was Golda Meir. I'm sorry, in 1973. One of her quotes, which is really interesting, is, "We will have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us." And that's a really weighty statement, and it certainly plays out in everything we see today. When the sneak attack occurred on Yom Kippur in 1973 on Israel, the prime minister called President Nixon in the middle of the Yom Kippur War and told him the state of Israel was just hours away from collapse and defeat. Nixon spoke about this on film, and he said she pleaded and even begged for her for support and aid from the United States. Henry Kissinger was his chief of staff, and Kissinger, who claims to be Jewish, was dead set against it. And Golda Meir, replied with a Bible reference, and Nixon had been raised a Quaker and was well acquainted with Scripture, and he was reminded of the reading by his mother, and he said at that moment, "I knew why I was president." So he believed, when he heard that Bible verse, that his explicit reason that he was made president was so that he could respond in this moment, and he did. He went against his own administration and ordered military support for Israel, anything that they asked. They defeated the Arab and Soviet led war, and set back really the entire region opposition for at least 20 years. Now, 1973 was the sixth year from the capture of Jerusalem. The seventh year was 1974, and I've just got a couple notes here about it, and you can think about it. You know, some of you don't go back that far, but the Arab and OPEC oil embargo was really the first time our source of energy in the Western world was challenged. And when it was enacted, I believe basically Western culture was forever changed. The mindset began to change from abundance to conservation, from independence of other considerations to dependence on many things. This is a mindset that was promoted. And from choice to basically burden. And politically, pragmatic truth was replaced really with political convenience. Now, that's a matter of perspective, but I believe it will ring true. And a lot of it dates back to 1974, when the preeminence of the United States in the Western world was challenged because of the energy and oil embargo. Richard Nixon in 1974 resigned under threat of impeachment. And in my opinion, the mire of current Western culture was truly born. In other words, basically all the sort of pain hand-wringing that we see in our culture today that seems to keep us from going forward in clear, righteous, if you will, judgment, it was replaced with just perpetual doubt and uncertainty and fear. So 1974, where all this trouble really began, was the seventh year since Jerusalem was reoccupied by Israel. Well, that brings me back to the story about Secretariat, and you'll see why in just a minute. Secretariat was a red horse. They had some trouble getting a name for him. He was originally, they tried to call him Deo Valente, which means God's redeemed, or God redeems. And eventually they went with Secretariat, but privately he was called Big Red. He was an enormous horse, and he had an extremely long stride and other qualities that made him so out of the ordinary that lots of people, and I think including the owners, called him God's horse. His opponent was a black horse, which is sort of interesting. Biblically, the red horse of Revelation is associated with the ox, which is a powerful animal. And the ox is associated with the letter Aleph, which means A or Alpha in Greek. And so Jesus is the Alpha, the Aleph and Tav, the first and the last Hebrew letter, or the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last Greek letter. The final race of Secretariat's Triple Crown was, as it is today and will be on June 7th, coming June, the Belmont Stakes. And on that day, it was on June 9th, I said the 6th, I think, a couple of days ago. It was on June 9th, 1973. The winning margin was by 31 lengths and a time of 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Well, this about a year after I had the experience with the movie, these things sort of coalesced in my head, and I was re-inspired to look at it. And I went to Strong's Concordance, and I looked up these numbers as references in both the Hebrew and the Greek. And this is what I came up with. If you look at both the words H31 and H24, 224, and also their root words, in other words, the words that are either put together or that these original words came from. If you want to look into this, you can yourself and see what you think. But basically, I'm just going to look at Strong's H31, which is Abihud, which basically means my father is majesty, or it can mean that. But basically, it's a reference to father and majesty. And H224, which is Urim, like the Urim and the Purim, and the Purim, which the Urim are the stones on the breastplate of the high priest. And when everything was functioning as God intended, the priest would wear this breastplate and would inquire of God questions, the primary questions that they had at that time. And God is said to have lit up these stones on the breastplate to communicate an answer, or in this case, a judgment. So if you draw out the meaning of these names, of these words, H31 and H224, you end up with a phrase, or you can end up with a phrase, my majestic father proclaims a light of judgment. And when I saw that, I was, I didn't have to go very far to get that out of those two numbers. So I'm like, okay, well, this seems to really have some legs. So I went to the Greek. And so then we're looking at in Strong's G31 and G224. And Greek G31 is agelia, which means message, just like angel means messenger. And G224, eluron, which means flour or meal. Well, to get flour or meal, the wheat has to be ground. So the meal is a product of grinding, and that's the root word. It means to grind. And grinding was done on the stone floor with an ox towing a board for separating the wheat from the chaff. Now, we call this ground wheat, but in Bible lands, the board that does the grinding is called a tribulum. And it is the same root word as the word that we get tribulation from. So that would come, in the Greek, a message of tribulation. So when you put the two together, the Hebrew and the Greek, through those two words that relate to the final and most dramatic victory of Secretariat, you end up with a phrase, or can end up with a phrase, that says, "My majestic father proclaims judgment, a message of tribulation." Okay, well, 1974, the year that came after, well, later in 1973 was the Yom Kippur War, and in 1974 was the Arab oil embargo, which really did change the Western world forever. So I have one last detail here with respect to Belmont, which was the third and final race, which crowns the Triple Crown winner. Belmont, it can be taken from the French, which is sort of supposed to mean beautiful mountain. But really, a closer investigation will lead you to biblical Bel, which also can be Baal and also Baal. Basically, it's the ancient satanic god of Babylon, and this is the mountain of the god of Babylon. So Belmont represents the mountain of Baal, the high god of Babylon. So in summation of all of these things, I would say through the support of kings in the year of Yom Kippur War, 6 years and 2 days after Israel occupied Jerusalem, God sent a proclamation of tribulation through a powerful ox and red horse. My majestic father proclaims judgment, a message of tribulation. God proclaimed a marker in time and a victory through the trinity of crowns of unprecedented time and margin over the mountain of Baal, the high god of Babylon.
Wow.
And this has not lost any power on me in the two or three years over which I've been aware of it. Now, I have one other detail, and it is pretty recent. In 2012, June again, by the way. Oh, there's one other thing about that. The Belmont this year is on June 7th, but on the Hebrew calendar, it is exactly the same day as it was the year Secretariat won the Triple Crown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No coincidence.
And so here's the last little thing that came along long after I thought I was done looking at all of this. On June 20th, in 2012, there's a racing commission that has, interestingly, seven members. And Secretariat's second race, which was held at the Preakness of the Triple Crown, as it always is, was disputed the length of time. And why that was, I'm sure, you know, it's horse racing, you know, lore or whatever. But basically, they gave him just a slow enough time that it wasn't a new record. But it's been just disputed ever since that time. And it said they made an announcement in June 2nd of 2012. And this seven-member commission used video to correct the winning time to exactly 1 minute, 53 seconds. So if you're a reader of John and know that the 153 fish represent the catch after when Jesus spoke to them from the shore, that number certainly is interesting. So I can't get away from this. I know it's just horse racing, and everybody can look at it as they wish, but I believe that there's something there. You know, it's one of the very many ways God can speak to people, and I think he sent a very special horse into the sport of kings to announce an immediate judgment, which occurred beginning in October of that year. And I also believe that that entire era, all of the changes that occurred in 1974 led directly to a lot of what we see in culture today.
Oh.
Nice.
Wow.
Thank you, Jerry.
Wow.
So, you know, we all believe already. So, you know, in that respect, you know, everybody can take it as they wish. But this is what I have to say God showed me about it. And
this is the exciting part. I mean, this gets even more exciting. This is it. Tell us. This is what I've been waiting for. People are loving this.
Actually, I lost my chat, so I didn't see anything anybody saying in chat. I'm sorry if I didn't acknowledge it.
Well, no, it's okay. We're loving it.
So,
your research is astounding, Jerry.
Yeah.
I do appreciate research, too. Thank you.
I'll tell you, you have to be in a certain place with God to receive this, to understand. And I know most of the people here are in a good place and understand the many different ways God will speak. And I think this is just simply a powerful message. I think he used, in 2010, I think he used the movie as an exclamation point to reemphasize it. And I believe the timing of it, the release of that movie on October 8th, is in 2010. Which I think a lot of us have experienced it. We think that 2010, 2009 was a time when a lot of what we're seeing now really kicked into a higher gear. And when he did that on October, when the movie itself was released on October 8th, the interesting thing that I noted about that only the other day when I looked it back up was that that's exactly the same day this year that the second of the four lunar tetrads occurs.
Right.
The lunar eclipses.
Yes.
So if you're watching and you believe and you know how the Lord can speak,
mm-hmm.
I think you can see that there's many ways that he is simply using that
mm-hmm.
whole scenario to convey a message to those who are paying attention.
Yeah.
God's now.
Absolutely. Jerry, can you explain? Somebody in the chat room wanted to know what was the significance of 153?
At the end of the book of John, John's Gospel, Jesus appears on the beach, and they don't
mm-hmm.
recognize him, and they're out fishing.
Right.
They haven't caught any fish, and he yells to them, you know, why don't you cast the boat? And they're disgusted and tired, and they want to come back to shore. And they say, cast your net on the other side of the boat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, we'll do it. And they do it, and they haven't caught anything all day. And then they catch huge fish, 153
mm-hmm.
huge fish, so
right.
many that they can't handle the net. And eventually they drag the fish to shore, and by the time they get to shore, he actually has a fire started, and they cook fish and eat the fish, and then they recognize that it's the Lord.
Mm.
And so they recognize the miracle, and they recognize it's the Lord, and he's speaking to them from the shore, across the water, if you will. And so this is where it's at, and it very specifically mentions 153 fish. So
yeah.
Christians for ages have long felt that is some number that is significant to the church, perhaps a rapture,
mm-hmm.
And what have you. It is interesting that the number 153 is within the day count of 5 months, and the time period of 5 months shows up, if you look real carefully, more than once in Revelation. One time very specifically. And so how we interpret exactly what that means, I mean, it's clear that it's not a very specific reference other than the very specific number of 153. So like many things, rapture days included, you know, we're left to interpret a little bit what that means. But when, you know, you see a dead horse, a horse that's been dead for a long time, set a new race record, and it comes out the number 153. got my attention.
Yeah.
I should add, by the way, that the races in horse racing, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont, are all different lengths. So that's why there's such a difference between the finishing time of the Preakness and the finishing time of the Belmont.
Cool.
Okay, Jerry. When the finale, then when's the rapture going to occur after all your research? Give us the time.
God told me Pentecost. I would much rather go with a word that he gives me than all my research.
He led you to the research, and I really appreciate you sharing that. It's very encouraging. God, you know, when we're looking for him, he puts our eyes on certain things. He leads us and points us.
Yes.
I really love what he's done with you with this movie and tying it all together. I mean, this is brilliant. This is just the Lord showing us he's coming. And, yeah, I mean, the Lord told Jerry.
I have to say, actually, that question, was that Keith or who? I'm not sure.
Keith.
Yeah, that was Keith. Your question, I know, was anointed because you reminded me of something that I didn't realize. I mentioned a couple of days ago I was having some trouble pulling this information up that I researched a while ago. And when I did, accidentally, I clicked on a different old file and read it, and it caused me to remember that the Lord had told me Pentecost one time 2 years ago, and I've completely forgotten about it. And that was part of another experience that involved some other details. But I don't, you know, but what those details did was they caused me to write something that when I went back to pull this up, I clicked on that and I read it to see what it was. And so your question, even though that was an annoying question because that definitely, you caused me to remember something I wanted to say already. So I've actually been told Pentecost twice, and, you know, I've researched a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things, you know, numerically, you know, count days and all that add up to different possibilities. But he's only told me three different times that I feel like he was confirming a day for me. And two of those times it was Pentecost.
Wonderful. I'm all for it.
Jerry, what significance do you read into the blood moon October 8th?
Well, I think it's one of a set. It's just one of the four. We know that that's in the holiday that they call Sukkot. That's the Feast of Booths, Tabernacles. The time that they actually, that in Hebrew tradition, they actually expect to see who they call Ben David, the son of David, their Messiah, come. And there's a whole tradition about that. I won't get into all of it. But the one thing that they do is the Feast of Booths, they make these little sort of shanty huts either on their balconies or on their property or whatever.
I know, yes.
And one of these specific instructions they're given on these things is to put slats on the roof, but to leave gaps between them so they can see the works of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because at the time that they expect the Lord to come, they'll be looking for more than just stars in the heavens.
Yeah.
So
When I lived in New York, we had an Orthodox Jewish family living right next to us, and he had the sukkah outside the thing. And my crazy kids, they took water balloons and threw it at it. I mean, whatever reason. But I know. We were invited over for the Passover. I would have met a good Jewish person because I learned everything. And you know, I had an apostle, and I would have pictures of Jesus. He was a photographer. He would do my pictures of Jesus, this Orthodox Jew, so that I could give them to the missions. I mean, go figure. And they'd always have us over.
Wow.
And his wife and I became like best of friends. And his mother-in-law had the mark on her arm. We didn't know what it was. She was in Auschwitz.
Oh, man.
Okay? And my kids would take I had this big Bible. My kids would take out on the deck, right across from them, the Orthodox Jews, and be preaching Jesus to them at the age of 8 or 9. Yeah. I'm amazing that we were like best of friends, but we were. It's like it didn't matter who we were or what we were. It's like the friendship and the love was there, and that's all we saw. And we would have the feast, the meals with them, everything. What's the one they have the lamb and the herbs, the bitter, I don't know, whatever that, the Passover dinner, I guess it was. It was a certain name to it, and we would have all that with them. But I know the sukkah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that.
So, there is one other thing, Pat. Since you asked, there's a pattern in all these tetrads, and without going through everything, I did notice recently that one aspect of the pattern is in the previous four. Sort of the event in the world that seemed to be the hand of God actually occurred the year before the four tetrads started. But the most recent tetrad prior to the one that we're going through this year and next year was in 1967, and it started on Passover and ended in Sukkot. And just like the one we're in, and between the two was when Israel recaptured Jerusalem. So the pattern we're in right now could very well reflect that exact pattern again.
Very interesting. God's timing.
Plus, there's, remember there's the cross in the sky between this red blood moon and the next one.
Yes, there is.
Something to do with that Israel war.
Yeah, there's Cilicia, and then there's the one, there's another sea on the bottom, and then I was looking at that the other night, this, the cross in the sky, with the different names of the whatever. And what something, it forms a throne before the sun. It's all in the stars, interesting, very interesting.
So, you know, handle with care, but we believe. We believe.
Yeah, amen. Amen. We're a blessed generation. We're the one going to go through all this, so we're very blessed.
Number two, that what Rhody had said, that he felt that this red blood moon was the warning, was our rapture warning, and then the rapture would occur. And then he said the next red blood moon was the tribulation was going to start. That was the warning for that. And then the
that's what I thought.
Right. Then the one next year, he said, was the 144K, and the following one was the Antichrist's throne. So, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Very
We will. We'll see. I mean,
soon.
That's we will. And I, you know, I want to believe for the translation, the 7 days before the rapture. But I know word. I know a couple other people gone.
Well, I think a lot. Quite a few people got that we were going to go before the rapture, with it, what, like 7 days or whatever. This is not, this is not a new thingy. That's good. That's good.
And people have gotten anywhere from, our family got 1 to 2 weeks. That's what God showed us. But some people have gotten up to 40 days at Rapture Centric Church. So as far as I've heard, I've heard anywhere from 1 week to 40 days, the translation would occur, and then worldwide rapture anywhere from a week to 40 days. But whatever the Lord shows you, you know, you don't have to believe that. But he showed it to a lot of us, and so we simply believe it. But I'm excited about that. Wow. Well, people, does anyone have any questions for Jerry and what he's sharing or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, because when people ask me questions, I mean, not like I know everything by any means. But
so, Jerry, well, thanks for sharing all that. That's just exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, well, there is a Miami Heat game right now. I'm thinking tonight there's a Miami Heat game, and we know that.
Go Pacers! Go Pacers! I'm with you, Carol.
And Rita thinks that we've been in the room for a couple days.
You all read my.
I did.
Rojo said in Acts they were told to wait 10 days in the upper room. That's 10 days, I think. Is that right? 10 days. And so Rita thinks, according to her vision, that possibly we've been in there for a couple days, because she had the vision a couple days ago because she was climbing up the stairs. So the Lord might be giving us a little puzzle piece here and flirting with us today with his bride. I kind of felt like he was going to flirt with us like this. This is kind of exciting, actually, because while we were worshiping, I was feeling that. He was going to reveal some stuff to us. So I don't know. I'm into this. Rhea and Rojo, they're on to something, and then with what Jerry has shared. And, yeah. So, more day. days, huh? Well, who knows?
It could be even. I'm hoping. Oh, sorry, who's that?
Carol.
Oh, hi, Carol.
I just wanted to add or
hi,
mention.
Carol.
Hey, Judy, booty, booty. I know.
Sorry, Carol,
I don't
welcome you to the line. We love you, and we're so glad you're here. Jerry was talking, so I unmuted you, and I didn't want to interrupt Jerry, but we're glad you're here, Carol.
Oh that's great. That's great. I want to keep hearing Jerry. Jerry's insight. But I don't get those kind of, you know, revelations, probably because I don't study enough like I used to. But that said, listen, today, actually yesterday, but in today, you know, the Pope, who was there in Israel and in Jerusalem yesterday, I think he was, he really riled up the Israelis because he called Israel the Palestinian state.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-oh.
He called the Pope said, you know, he called Israel the Palestinian state. And so that's not good for them, but it's good for us. only us rapture retards can rejoice. Can rejoice in hearing that kind of news, right?
Oh my
only
gosh.
Us, you know, but that's what that's
oh,
what he said.
Wow.
And then
go ahead.
I was just going to say the media I heard this yesterday, and then today the media, as they were reporting the Pope's visit, they said, well, you know, he brought a lot of goodwill, but he also caused a lot of controversy. Only they didn't mention at all today what that controversy was.
Wow.
And that is that he called it a Palestinian state. That's the controversy. And
it's a
they
no-no.
And the media was like, we're not going to repeat that comment.
Oh, wow, Carol. That's
what I picked up. It's like the media did not want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. They did not want to touch that statement with a 10-foot pole. So it's just exciting that we're living in the time we're living in, because any moment, right, Judy? Any moment, right, Pat? Any moment,
oh, honey,
right, Jerry?
Yeah, we're waiting.
No.
I love what Jerry said. The six sounds great.
Yeah. You know, Carol, I saw a video, and I don't follow him, but I sort of know of him, Stephen Bannon, who I guess is a Messianic Jew. I happened to see a video that he put out 1 or 2 weeks ago, and he and his family were over in Israel and went to the Temple Mount Institute, and they took a tour and were kind of alarmed by some of the things they saw and were said, and I won't get into all the details, but he sort of summarized all of it. He said he believes, and when I listened to him, I got the impression that what I was hearing was a Holy Spirit invoked impression. That the Pope has set himself up as a high priest of Israel by changing his appearances to all white garments, which has not been done before. And he showed a picture of him in one of the major public events he did wearing that. And then I did notice that's what he's wearing in Israel. And he had a long reasoning behind it. If you want to look him up and see what he said about it, it was a very interesting. I felt like it was a Holy Spirit anointed message. And so I thought, so what you're saying, you know, totally goes along with the fact that there's trouble brewing.
Yeah.
And the other, you know, we don't really talk about like the, you know, the other dark powers out there, the Illuminati and all these you know, groups out there, the societies. But I will tell you this. The Pope is a Jesuit, and he's the first Jesuit who became a Pope. And if you look up the Black Pope, if you guys out there, Google the Black Pope, and it has nothing to do with race. It's not about race, okay? It's garments that they wear. And they're the ones that are in control of politics, of currencies, of the religious organizations. And here is the first Jew, the first Jesuit who became a pope. And normally the general, you know, of course, there's still a black pope out there, secretary general. And he wears, the black garments with a red sash.
Yeah, the argument is that he's the head of the Jesuits, and all Jesuits are under him. Therefore, the Pope is under him.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So why did he say Israel is a Palestinian state?
What a thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Oh, my goodness.
It's horrible, and I have to tell you guys. Let me go outside for a second, just in case. Okay, so, you know, my brother and I are watching the news, right? And they're talking about the Pope's visit to Israel, but they don't. And they mentioned that he caused some controversy over there, but they don't mention it. So I tell my brother. I said, you know what the controversy is? I said, he called Israel a Palestinian state. And he said, he what? He said, he really said that? So isn't it funny how my brother, who does not believe in God, he's a strong supporter of Israel. I think I just love the Holy Spirit, the way the Holy Spirit works. He just... But anyway, I thought that was, he was appalled that, you know, that the Pope, called Israel a Palestinian state.
Oh, that was really lame. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
He said this yesterday. And,
it's going to come out.
Right after... Yeah, and what Benjamin Netanyahu did is, I don't know if it was yesterday or this morning, that he took the Pope to the wall that is dedicated to the Holocaust survivors. No, not the Holocaust survivors, to the Israelis who have been killed by the Palestinians. He took them over there, and he told them all these people have died because the Palestinians killed them. So anyway, I mean, there's a lot of politics in that too.
Yeah.
As we will know. We all know, but I just thought,
how many Palestinians have been killed by the Israelis?
Well, yeah, it goes
both ways
too.
Yeah,
you know, it's that's why I said it. There's politics and everything.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, the bottom line is Jesus is coming, and he's going to restore order.
Okay? Oh my gosh, can
he's
going to
restore order that man made a mess of.
Oh yes, quite
God
a big mess.
God created when God created. The earth, he created it. Well, not just the earth, the universe.
Mm.
He created it in an orderly fashion. And then Satan comes along, as soon as he hit outer space, he polluted it.
Yeah.
You know, because then he pollutes the atmosphere, he polluted the earth. You know, I had read when I was doing my research on the beginning of the Earth, and you know, there's a strong possibility that before God created Adam and Eve, there was life on the Earth, but the life that was on the Earth were not created. No, whatever you know, animals there were, they were not created in the image and likeness of God. That's the difference, right? Okay, but the second thing was, before Lucifer and the fallen angels fell to the Earth was a perfect, beautiful place, and there were life forms or animals or whatever. But when Lucifer fell to the Earth, okay, before he got kicked out, okay, there, in Isaiah it says that he says, I will ascend above the skies, above the, you know, the stars, above the throne. I will ascend. He's going up. He's somewhere down below, and he's going to go up and overthrow, or he thinks he's going to overthrow his creator, right? So it's very possible that Lucifer and the angels before their sin were in charge of the earth. And they were the garden keepers and whatever. You know, they're called sons of God. And so when that, you know, that element of pride entered in, and he decided he was going to overthrow God, and when he ascended and he, you know, did what he did, and he was kicked out. As he's being kicked out, now he is being, now he's polluting the earth because he has become sin.
Carol, I just need to interrupt real quick. This has to do with what you're saying. I wanted to read it before it left. I just think God's giving us a major insight today about the upper room and a timeline. I'm just really excited about it. I'm feeling jazz in my spirit. Rhea had that vision of going up, and she felt it was RCC, if I'm correct. And so we're in the upper room, and that was a couple days ago. And she said, I really believe we are in the upper room now, and the wait is short. I felt Jesus so close to me when I prayed last night. It was amazing. Is anyone else feeling this? And yes, I'm feeling it. Others are. And so it's really important to pay attention to these feelings that the Lord is giving you. The Lord works in our five senses. And I was talking to a brother this morning on the phone about, you know, how the Lord's been drawing near to me. I just can't describe what it is, but it's just this presence of the Lord. It's hovering over me. And it's just hovering, okay? And the last couple, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Just the last couple of days, it's huge, okay? And there's nothing I'm doing any different, you know. I'm just being the same old jackass I always am. But it's just his presence, his knowing, his coming. I believe it's the reward of childlike faith, you know. The Lord, as you continue to have childlike faith and trust in him,
yeah,
and believe, he does a supernatural thing in you. And you can't really describe it other than you know that you know that you know that you know that he's here and he's coming,
yep,
and you're so determined, and nobody,
yep,
can make you think it. No YouTube video can make you think it. It's the spirit of mighty Jehovah God and his presence. It's falling mightily upon us. I really believe as a body, because it's not just me who's feeling it. Other people,
yeah,
are. And you know what? I would believe God whether I felt it or not, okay? And that's just kissing on the cake. But the Lord wants to give us that nearness, the presence, the feeling of his love, because I've been saved 28 years, and many of you have been too, and you know that it's just not a walk based on feelings. In fact, most of the time,
yeah,
most of my walk, I never felt a thing, okay? And when the, mm-hmm, Lord would use me to heal people overseas and pray for them and they'd fall over, I never felt a thing, but they wake up off the ground healed.
Wow.
But I never felt a,
wow,
thing, and I used to be so frustrated. I'm like, why don't I feel anything, you know? But the Lord wants to do what he wants to do, but I just want to acknowledge that the Lord is doing this in our body right now and thank him for it. Thank you, Father, for everybody in the chat room that's saying that they are feeling this presence of the Lord, that we're about to leave. Roman has said it. Stacy has. Rhea has. You know, I'm not inclined to make up. I don't make up things. I don't go on emotionalism. I'm actually a pretty skeptical person. Before the Lord fell on my son, if you want to know the truth, and my sister lives here and knows how I am, I will never say it's the Lord unless I know 100%. I'll say I feel really strongly, okay? But since the Lord fell on my son, my sister noticed that I don't do that anymore. She goes, you know how I used to always be really careful? I led her to the Lord 10 years ago or so, and I was always very careful. I would say, you know, when I knew it was God, I'd be determined. But if I was 98% sure, I'd say, here's what I strongly believe. But I don't even do that anymore. And she noticed that because it's clearly the Lord. Like, I know that it's the Lord, and there's no question in my mind, you know, and you just can't make this stuff up. So I want to thank you, Lord. And for those in our body here at Rapture Centric Church that aren't having the feeling, you know, don't feel left out, okay? Your faith is greater for it. Your faith is greater for it. Why did he give some feelings to others and some not? I don't know. But don't think that it's always going to be your condition if you're not feeling it right now, because the Lord at any moment can put that presence on you. He does as he pleases. But it doesn't mean he's not pleased with you if you're not feeling a thing. You know, I went years never feeling a thing, and it's the walk of faith that he's developing. But I want to acknowledge that the Lord is doing this among us, with many people here that we're about to leave, and it's exciting, and we thank you, Lord, and we pray a heavy, thick blanket of your spirit fall on all of us corporately as a body, Lord. You would bring that to your bride. We love you, Lord. We want you. We can't, you know, we're just excited about the sign that you're giving us, and I'm sorry that I interrupted you, Carol. I just didn't want to let that slide because it was going up in the chat room, and other people were talking about how they're feeling.
I agree, because when I look in the spirit realm, I've been, like today, I looked into the spirit realm, the Lord was pointing it out, and I could see storm clouds above us. Like, I can see, like, the spirit realm above the entire bride. So he showed me above the entire bride, and I can see the storm clouds coming. They're, like, here. They're in the sky, and they're, you know, it's dark and they're coming in. It was like, whoa, it's like the urgency is of the hour. It's very, very urgent that we're going out of here because the tribulation's about to hit. So I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt it. Ooh, boy.
Okay,
wow.
Good. Well, and you guys, before we move on here, I know other people are wanting to share. I just want to say that we have our wonderful Nick on the line. He has become a part of our family. Joe brought him here. Nick, can you hear me okay, buddy?
Yeah. Hi, how you doing, everyone?
Hey, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
How
Nick.
Are you?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Happy to be here.
Good.
Went to the library to try to get a Bible, but it was Memorial Day, so it was closed. So,
Wow.
Yeah. Did some work today.
Just talk to him. Yeah.
Yep.
You know how we're all at different places and being stretched by God. Everybody, I'm convinced that every member of the warrior bridal party, is being stretched in trials and in faith, because that's what makes you a warrior bride. So I don't think there's anyone here that's untouched by trials. Some of our trials are more difficult than others simply because of, you know, we're newer in the faith. But, you know, our brother Nick here, he's hanging on by a thread, but it's the thread that's strong because it's Jesus. So that's all. It's okay. He's going to make it. Guys, let's really lift up our brother Nick. And I encouraged him to make a PayPal. I know that we're just a small body here, but he's in a bit of a tight spot right now. He's working lots of hours, but he's just had some things come against him. And we know that the Lord is on his side and is going to meet his need. And I just want to, I have an email for his PayPal account, but Nick, you gave me two different emails. Is there a Nicholas, an S, in the original Gmail account? Is there an S in it?
Yes, it's a Nicholas.
Okay, so I'm announcing this because he doesn't want to. He's very uncomfortable doing this because he's just...
We're family, honey.
Most, Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm doing it for him, and Nick is a wonderful brother. You know, we share each other's phone numbers, and we talk to each other, so, you know, I encourage everyone to surround him. I got to talk to Nick today, and, you know, God brought him in at the last minute to come to the wedding feast. God has given his invitation to so many people, and the Bible even says people are going to be busy and they're not going to go, so he's just going to go pick anyone. And, you know, Nicholas wasn't following God really at all. He wasn't doing anything, and the Lord picked him up and plucked him and chose him at the last minute here. So he's making it to the feast, guys, but he's having a rough time. So let's continue to pray for him and be a friend to him and just believe God with him and stand by him and hold his hand. His computer recently got destroyed, and so he can't join us in the chat room like he used to. Bummer. But... you know, we can, he only came in once or twice, right, Nick, in the chat room? But anyway.
I'm sorry.
We can listen.
Actually, what did you say? I'm sorry.
Well, Nicholas, are you able to see, because you're not on the computer, so are you not able to see the chat room, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, I know we played telephone with you before, but I just feel led to kind of stop everything. The Lord stops everything for one person, and I just, you know, if anyone has any words of encouragement, let's just go before the Lord, and anyone has a prayer, if you're on the line, if you want to throw up a prayer, and Nick, obviously, if you want to share, please do, and I'm going to post your PayPal in the chat room. I'm also going to say it right now. It's Nicholas, and it's all lowercase, N-I-C. HOLASRETROSI@gmail.com, and that's his PayPal. And like I said, I know a lot of us are being stressed right now, but, you know, $20 or something, you know, whatever, it's going to help a little. And Nicole, I'm going to put that in there right now.
I guess just the gist of it to explain to everyone, kind of, I mean, it does make me feel really, really uncomfortable, you know, asking, but kind of Judy had talked to me about it, and basically, like, I've been staying in a tent, and the tent collapsing on me, and me breaking my arm and losing all my stuff, I got a note on my door from the sheriff that they're going to come in and take my stuff unless I get this rent together, and I just want everyone to know, you know, even words of encouragement are amazing, and I just appreciate everyone so much, and whatever happens, you know, I will for sure pay this back to other people in one way or another.
You don't have to. Nick, we're family. We help each other out. And listen, by you letting other people help you, Nick, they are being blessed by God. So don't take their blessing away. Let them help you. It's for everybody. So let them help you because they will be blessed and they feel wonderful to do this for you. We're not going to let you sink, honey, okay?
I recently just made a big change in my life, and I had everything I wanted, and I just was a very sinful, illegitimate way of living. And ever since I've really started living for the Lord, my life has just gotten so difficult, and I just want to stay true and stay strong, and
we'll help you.
You guys have so much, and the time that I've spent with in church is just the highlight of my day, and I just want to thank everyone for bringing me so close, and I just keep telling myself that it's not much longer, so I just got to keep it up and stay on the right track, and
you bet.
Stay as close
we're here
to
you,
for you guys and Jesus as I can.
Yeah, we're here for you, honey. So be blessed. Be blessed.
People want to know where you live. What state do you live in?
I live in Colorado.
Okay, Colorado. Is anyone in Colorado? hey, Nick, I posted your information in the chat room. Do you guys want me to read it again out loud?
Yeah.
Or do you guys have it? It's Nicholas, NICHOLASRETROSI, Nicholas Retrosi, at gmail.com. Yeah, and he lives in Colorado there. Okay. Yeah, Nick, we're standing behind you. You have a bunch of people in the chat room. There's 19 people in chat. People are saying they're praying for you. Rojo has a word from the Lord. She said, Nick, I have never forgotten you, my son. I adore you. I watch you every moment. Hold you in my hand. Your struggles are short-lived. Nick, I come swiftly for you, my little warrior. All right? Mm. And I'm going to tell you right now, Nick, you have Rhea praying for you, Rhea from Canada. She spends most of her time in prayer. You have a really good friend right there praying for you. So thank you, Rhea. And I know that we're all joining hands and standing with you, Nick. You never have to ever go back to what you were doing before because we're family here. We're going to stand by you, okay? We're going to do everything we can. And mm-hmm. I'm just glad God called you in at the last minute here, you know? He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
So.
Me too. It's just pretty amazing how I all of a sudden just knew that this is where I needed to be and what mm-hmm. I needed to do. And no matter how hard it gets and stuff, I know that I'm doing the right thing. And
yes.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to God every day. And
yes.
It just keeps me going, and I can't wait to be with all you guys in our houses.
You're not alone.
Eating at the feast.
That's the way we all feel, honey.
Yeah,
we have to help each other and hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we thank you, Lord, for helping Nick, Lord. We know Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We know, Lord, that no matter how difficult things go, your word says that you will meet all of Nick's needs, Philippians 4:19. So we know you're good for it. We know you'll do it. We're standing in faith for it. We know it's already done. We're going to thank you for that now. We ask that you bring blessings to Nick. And we cast out anything in his life that's coming against him that is not of God in Jesus' name. And we release, we cast out the curse of the law over him, bring the blessings of Abraham into his life, and things will change because the word says it, and it's backed by it. God's word is backed by it. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And if it makes you feel any better, Rhea in the chat room said, it's okay, Nick, I'm hanging on by a thread too. And, you know, that's why she's such a good prayer warrior, because God has brought Rhea into an incredibly intimate spot with himself, but it's been through trial after trial after trial. But Rhea, we're almost there. And Rhea said in the chat room that she usually plants a huge garden, and she plants a huge garden every year. And she asked the Lord today, should I plant the garden? Should I plant? And he said, you don't have to plant anything.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know, I got chills when I read that. So whenever the Holy Spirit moves on me, I like to read it. Because this is what the Lord told me, too. And, you know, Rhea said, it'll all be over in a blink of an eye. No more pain, no more tears. And, you know, the Lord had me quit my job in November. And, you know, I'm running out of money. And I said, do I need to go back? You know, kind of like Rhea, should I plant my garden? I said, because my job loves me. They'll take me, you know. And he said, no, you don't have to. You can, but you don't have to. And but I can't, because he knows I can't, because, you know, my son has to be homeschooled, and he took his dad, so I've been set up. I'm being set up by God. So, Rhea, just like you're not going to plant, I won't be going back, because there's no point. If the Lord knew that I would need that provision, he would tell me to go back. And he's always been good. And in my 28 years, I have never been, you know, he's never taken me. He's always fed me and clothed me. And in the area of provision, I have confidence. He's brought me close to the edge, but he's never, ever not clothed, fed, and housed me in all my years. And I just, you know, I want to thank God for that. And he's going to do the same for you, Nick. He's going to do the same for you. The Bible says he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. And we're all going to make it up until he comes to get us. And it could be today, because he wants us to believe it's today, and so I do. But I was going to ask Jerry. I think Jerry had one more insight he wanted to share, but...
I can get into that in a minute. I have a very brief word for Nick, and then something for everybody. I was praying while we were talking about Nick, and I just was asking if he sees Nick as part of the rapture-centric group, and he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters because yesterday, in this context, sorry, because yesterday I was really, I had some time to press into the Lord and really sort of pondering the way he works. And so I had sort of a conversation with him about his working and waiting till the last second, last moment, when in many respects, to so people can recognize that it's him doing the work. And I came to an understanding that the people here, the rapture-centric people, would not have to wait to the last minute, to the last moment, that there would be relief granted in that context. And Nick's testimony, if you will, has sort of pressed me to say that, and I'm kind of hoping somebody might have maybe a confirmation for me here, but I'm sure that's what he told me. And so while I wait for that, I want to say to Nick, you know, the troubles you've had may be crowns. The Lord corrects and presses those whom he loves, and he will find a way to use the difficulties that you are staring at are most certainly ones that he will use in your credit. So, but for everybody else, this is what I believe he's led me to believe. Now, I did have one other thing to say that we were sort of talking about a little bit earlier, and that's sort of timelines. Everything that I'm just being impressed to believe in is what we all want and what we're talking about in degrees with the word I had about Pentecost, which I hope would be sort of a rapture, and I know we're looking to go before then. There's a couple of videos that were posted in May that I think really speak to these times. A couple of people, and the point is they're a time marker to me. And the time that the day both of them were posted was on the 14th of May, which is Second Passover in the Hebrew calendar.
Right.
And that is exactly 2 weeks before the 28th, which is the Hebrew recognition of the anniversary of capturing Jerusalem. Well, 2 weeks is 14 days, and 14 days is how long Jacob had to wait to get his wife of choice. 14 years, the number 14. And I at one point did some research on things like that, and what I found was that there actually is a repeating pattern of 14 cycles, years, what have you, that relate to things. And so we've got a 14-day period between the 14th of May and the 28th of May, which I know Rudy's talked about the 28th quite a bit. It also reflects the capturing of Jerusalem, which we know is part of God's time clock. And then the interesting thing going forward is that that's exactly a week ahead of Hebrew Pentecost, Shavuot, and it's exactly 10 days before the 7th of June, which would lead into Gentile Pentecost.
Yeah.
Those are some fun number crunchies. Those are some good number crunchies.
So he's pushing that on me. You know, I've been through this a long time. I've seen a lot of, I've laid a lot of days into calendars and day counts, and I'm pretty reserved about this at this point. He's been pressing on me about this perspective, and there it is.
Wow.
But
Okay, Jerry, hold on real quick because I need to read this word for Nick from Roman in the chat room. Roman is our Russian that lives in England. And Roman said, Nick, my warrior, stay strong in me. Your rewards are building up. More than you know, your struggles are paying off. Only if you could, if only you could see. You love, your love will keep you, my love will keep you secure. Look up at me and never look down. I can make something good come out of anything bad. Much is in store for you, my son, so much. Time is now over. There is no more time, my son. If you realize how soon it is, you'll see me. You'd be shocked. Your love means everything to me, Nick. You are part of me, Nick. Don't let go, Nick. You have made it. I love you, your father, Spirit, and Yahweh, Jesus Christ. And all glory to God. And then Stacy said that God showed her, Nick, you are my beloved. Rest in me. Soon you will be with me, living with me in your eternal home. I have so much planned for you. I am God of more than enough. Yes, I am evicting you from this world because it's not your home. I have prepared an awesome home for you. You are my jewel, and I'm well pleased. Rest in me, Nick. Hallelujah. Those are beautiful words.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Wow. Well, let's worship the Lord and just kind of soak in all the stuff that Jerry's been saying and sharing with us and other people in the chat room and on the line here, and let's do one of Bill Oley's Jesus Trance songs, and let's just, you know, Nick, this reminds me of Psalm 23. Let's just sit beside the stream with Jesus and let him just fill us with peace in the midst of the trials that he's allowed, and we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Cover Nick. We lift up our brother Nick before you. We pray the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard his heart and mind in Christ Jesus and your whole body, Lord, all of us. Increase it, and we love you, Jesus. We love you.
Do you agree?
Love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Love you, Jesus.
Amen.
Another song. I feel like the Lord wants to do that, and then we can continue sharing. somebody want to
Okay. Yeah,
sorry.
I do.
Sorry, the best part of the
to read something?
Yeah, read us something, hon.
Okay, I just turned to Isaiah 62. Oh my gosh. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hezbollah and your land Beulah, for your Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married as a young man marries a maiden. So will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem, and make her the prize of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Press through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. It's so hard to read this. It's so appropriate. See, his reward is with him.
Say it again.
The Lord has made proclamation in the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you will be called, sought after, the city no longer deserted. Oh, my God. I just turned to that.
Thank you, Pat. That's lovely.
Wow, that's the Holy Spirit.
That's a word from God.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry. I don't
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Beautiful, Pat. Your tears are beautiful. It's the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you're coming.
Wow.
Amen.
We love your presence, Lord. We thank you for speaking.
He's coming for us. He just said it.
Sister Pat, we love you, Jesus. We love you.
Ay, ay, ay.
He's coming to lift us up.
Your shoulders.
to more than I can be.
Everyone's unmuted. Personally, I'm too hammered to do anything, so I'm just going to listen to the rest of the show. Everyone's unmuted. I'll tell you who I have on the line. I have Jerry, we have Nick, we have Joe, and Pat, and Keith, and Carol, and Tana. Take it away, church. I'm just going to sit here because I'm too hammered, okay?
There's another message from I Am Calling. Behold, I Come. It's a new message on the 25th of May. I will read it without crying, if that's okay, because this is really, and it's, okay.
Go ahead, Pat.
There's a word in here that you're going to love, the first sentence. Daughter, write these words to my children. I wish for them to understand the gardens. My bride is of one heart with me as we labor in the Garden of Gethsemane once again. Your sorrow at the tremendous darkness that has enveloped this earth is my sorrow. Not only does the earth groan and travail and long for my return, our hearts are terribly grieved and exceedingly pained as we watch one another. I'm sorry, as we watch one after another of our loved ones slipping further and further away from my Father's loving embrace, his ever-compassionate heart. As I prayed in this garden of sorrow for this cup to pass me by, so my Father and I too hear your cries of desperation as you face what appears to be insurmountable situations. However, continue to pray that my will alone is done in this place, especially when you don't understand or when you feel your efforts are fruitless. I have girded you with the strength to fight this battle. Persevere, children. It is almost done for you. Do not be tempted to give up and never let your guard down. At this point, you must remain ever vigilant, ever sober, watchful and alert. You are waging war against all the powers of hell. And although your spirit is willing to obey, your flesh is not of me. Pray unceasingly that the weight of my glory rest upon you for this final stretch. For after this terrible hour of trial, which has come upon you, shall such splendor and glory befall all those whose robes have been washed clean by my righteousness. Therein you enter the garden of my Father's heart, your ark of safety, your ark of rest. A love unlike anything you've ever known awaits you. Enter into my sanctuary, my loved ones. As the darkness swirls around you, step boldly into the Holy of Holies and be immersed. It is in your obedience in doing this that I will show you how to overcome all that you face now. Remember, remember, you are victorious. I have seen you through to the end. The garden of my Father's heart is your only refuge. Run to this garden, beloved, for I have given you the key. Enter into its gates and behold my treasure within, Yeshua.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pat.
You're welcome. Yes, anything I can do. You're welcome, honeys. You're welcome. I had some beautiful Bible verses here. We were stuck in the parade, but this man was giving out Bible tracts, and I just, they're very short, but they're full of love and hope. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. And then the other one, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, from John 1:12. And the other one is here, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, from Ephesians 1:7. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 4:9-10. And this one, therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, Ephesians 1:2. We love him because he first loved us, that's 1 John 4:19. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, that's from John 4:11. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who is begotten of him, that's John 5:1. Oh, I love this one. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ, who also forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, 1 John 3:20-21. So that's what I wanted to read to you. Yeah. Some little encouragement there. Some little Bible scriptures.
Thank you so much. Roman in the chat room said, from Jesus to RCC, my beautiful bride, you have fought, struggled, and run the race well. It is time. You have made it, and I'm so proud, children. Your happiness and joy will begin now, Yeshua. Thank you.
Wow.
And Rojo said they waited in the upper room for the Spirit to descend, so here we wait, and we feel the Spirit. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Hammered.
Stacy requests, and thank you for sharing that. Beautiful words, Pat. And Stacy was asking if Jerry could repeat the very last thing he said. If he remembers it, I don't know, but Stacy wanted him to repeat that last thing he said.
Yes, would you?
It
was right before Pat's Bible flip, yeah.
That very last thing.
Well,
I believe that I received the request was granted for not waiting to the last second, and I asked for a confirmation. And then, Pat, you read.
You know, I just turned that open, and I just said something, said, just opened that, just flipped open. I mean, I could just about finish it. I mean, what a perfect Isaiah 62. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't even know that was there. And just, it's a confirmation that he's, you know, he's pleased, he's coming. Don't fret. Hang in there, guys. We're at the door.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good night. The Holy Spirit is very strong, fellas and gals. And I'm telling you, it's very strong.
Boy,
I'm like a little kid with this, you know. I just love it. I'm like, ah! It's great. It's great. Thank you, everybody, for sharing everything. All of you, just, you all have your gifts and wonderful,
everybody.
You know, Holy Spirit will use every one of us. However, he's going to use us, you know, equally just to bless and uplift and encourage. And Nick, hang in there. God is so pleased with you. I didn't even have to say, I just amen everything that he said. They said, Nick, when you're feeling down, just say, Jesus, hold me in your arms. Just hold me. And let me cry on your shoulder. And Nick, he's your Father, Savior, best friend, Creator God. He loves you more than the spouse of our souls. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And he always says, I am always with you. There's no place you can be that I'm not there listening to you. I'm in you. I'm beside you. So he's always with you. So just talk to him, honey. Just talk to him about anything. And talk to us, because we will give you what he has to say for you, anybody, to encourage you and lift you up. We're all family. This is a very special family. I think more special than anything in these days, because we're so blessed.
It really is. Really is.
So don't just say, Jesus, you know, I'm hurting, and we're all hurting, but don't be afraid to say to Jesus, hold me in your arms and let me have a good cry with you. And offer Jesus, say, Jesus, I'll hold you. You have a good cry with me, because he's human and his heart feels like our heart feels, okay? Everything. So he's very sensitive to our being human with him and everything that we say to him. So don't be afraid to just pour your heart out. You're not going to take him by surprise. He's not looking out the window. He wants you in those strong arms, and he's going to console you, and you're going to console him. He loves to hear our cry. He loves it, because he wants that. He wants to be everything to you, and he wants to give you the solutions and the peace. No reason none of us should be not in peace. We should all be in peace because of the relationship and the walk we have with him. We know that we know, and he knows that he knows, okay? So we all know.
Thank
you. Know,
you.
That he's with us, and we're with him.
Be assured, Nick.
Yeah.
And
be assured,
I would also
Nick,
like to
with
say
you all the time. Yeah, go ahead.
This is for everybody who's listening, everybody who would be a part of this group. And if you have any doubts, try laying at the feet of Jesus, because you can be included.
Oh. Yeah. He's there. No reason not to have peace, because we know we can go to him for everything, and he listens to us. We know we have that peace, that joy, that assurance that comes from knowing that he's our Savior, he's our everything love, and that he's listening, he's looking at us, his arms are outreached to us. Find your way into them and just pour your heart out, and just, you know, he loves that. He loves that, and there's nothing he won't do for you. If it's good for your soul, it's yours. You know, whatever you ask the Father in his name, it's yours, if it's not detrimental to your soul. Believe, 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 believe. We've got the greatest gift ever. We have the only thing that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one. We have him. We need nothing else. Nothing. We have him. He leads us to wherever he wants us to be. Trust him to do that, guys. He will. Anybody listening out there, just give God a chance. I know he loves you. Anyone, and he's your Savior. Savior means saved. He doesn't want you. Nobody wants to go where the enemy's supposed to go, because that hell was not made for God's children. That was for the enemy and his demon followers. That was not for us. So cover everybody with the precious blood of Christ. Ask the Holy Spirit to inspire. Tell God you just pray for conversions, you know. That's on my heart more than anything, is to pray for conversions and that everyone is saved. I mean, he's probably sick of me. Yeah, but I know about it, but I'll never stop until my last, so my trial flight. No, don't trial flight. Absolute flight up, you know. So be at peace, guys, and be cheerful and believe. And he's got to, we don't always understand everything. And like Judy said, in a twinkle of an eye, we're gonna say, oh, okay, that's why. You know, we'll understand. But walk in faith.
Hey, and you know what? I want to also say, don't beat yourself up, Bride. We are only going. None of us, Nick, I don't care how bad your sin was. I don't care, you know, how you lived your life. The Bible says mm-hmm. we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So don't
Amen.
Think that any of your trials are coming because you deserve it, because that's the scandal of the cross. You deserve a lot of trouble for the life you've led. We all do, okay, Nick? But here's the thing. It's the scandal of the cross. Jesus came and paid it, put it all on his body. So don't think the situation you're in, Nick, that God won't get you out of it because, oh, I caused it. Oh, I was my own problem. I should.
Right.
No. God's grace comes, and he takes our messes. And this is why it's a scandal. This is why Jesus Christ is amazing and why people put him on a cross. He came and paid for all of it, okay? So you're mm-hmm. perfect, and you're priceless, and you're perfect in his sight. You're squeaky clean. Don't let the devil trick you and think, you know, that you've done enough things
right.
wrong, so you don't really deserve anything. God's going to get you out of this mess that you're in because he's either taking you in the air today or he's going to fix this situation. And it's because
mm-hmm.
of his goodness and his grace. None of us on this phone, nobody here, we've all sinned. We've all screwed up and made a mess of what God gave us. But guess what? Jesus
right.
made it all right by dying for us. And you're going in the rapture, not because of what you did right today, but because of what Jesus did on
right.
that cross. You're
right.
gonna. We're all going to, you know, we're going to be sinning on the day we go. And don't tell me we're not, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because of what Christ has done,
right.
we may not do everything right today, but we're right before God because of what Christ did, and we thank him, and we do our best, and we ask Christ to help us and empower us. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's all because of what he did. All right, Nick? So be encouraged, brother, that,
yes,
you know,
yes.
just because you came in at the last minute and you've done things to screw things up, it's okay. We all have. You know, I screwed up myself in my 20s, and I'm in my 40s now, so I had time to play it out. You didn't have that time, all right, Nick? But if I didn't have that time, I'd be in your situation. We all screw things up. It's part
mm-hmm.
of God's redemptive plan on the cross. It almost makes him look better the more screwed up we are, okay?
right.
Because he takes us up, and he polishes us up, and he makes us beautiful in his sight. And he's very
mm-hmm.
pleased with you. When he looks at you, he looks at you through the death of his son, and he sees you as perfect, okay? And so just, you know, don't anyone... No one's throwing a stone at anyone here, because we all know what
no.
a mess we would be if it wasn't for Christ, who came and took us out of
yeah.
our mess. You know, we don't need church. This is not church. You know, we're a body. God made us a church, but we're not like the traditional church. We don't play games. We don't, you know, we don't talk about your sin. We don't, God paid for it. Your sin is forgiven. And, you know, you can tell the devil to just shut up, because he is defeated.
Right.
He's under your feet.
Yeah.
right.
I just had to throw that in there,
right.
like,
thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, the Lord just brought to me that in the Bible about how, this is Lana, hi, how the
hi,
workers
sweetie.
Were hired, and the workers that
yes.
were hired last ended up getting the same pay, and
right,
the people
right.
that were hired first were complaining, but God's like, no, you agreed on that, so everybody gets the same no matter what
right.
they
yeah.
come into RCC. We're
exactly.
all... You know,
exactly.
we're all being translated together, no matter if you came in, like, at the last second or you've been
doesn't
in from
matter.
The beginning. So.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You
yep.
get the same pay.
right.
The 8-hour and the 1-hour guy get the same pay.
Hey.
And God says, well, who are you to question me? You know, I'm the owner of the vineyard. Don't tell me who I can pay or not pay, you know. Take it and be happy. Just leave. Leave me alone. Go. Don't complain.
hey, and Nick, I also just want to... remind you that you are no longer a prisoner of Satan. You're no longer a prisoner of the devil and his tactics.
Amen.
You are now a prisoner of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the benefits that come with being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus are
yeah.
blessings and grace. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He
beautiful.
Already
thank you. God
away.
Bless you.
Yeah, he washed away
yeah.
all of your sins already. And this is what's happening right now to you, Nick, okay? You have given your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus now. You have made him your King and Savior, and that has angered Satan very much. Because God's kingdom is getting larger and stronger, and it's being filled with more love. So what he's doing to you is coming against you by telling you, oh, I don't deserve the Lord's blessings and the Lord's favor and the Lord's love because I was such a screw-up. You know, that's what he's telling you. He doesn't want you to believe that the Lord, that God, your Father, is blessing you. And what you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for washing away all of my sins and for making me right with you in your precious blood. Now I receive and welcome your blessings and your favor. What Satan meant for evil, God has turned to good. You cannot, in your physical environment, it's hard for you to imagine that the Lord's blessings are upon you right this second, and that he's showering you right now with favor, and he's sending myriads of angels to encamp about you, to protect you, because all of this stuff has been happening against you. But that's the devil wanting to take away your faith in him and trying to make you feel guilty about your past. But you refuse it, and you say, thank you, Jesus, that even though I'm going through a difficult time, you are blessing me right now. And I welcome and I receive your blessings and favor, and thank you for loving me. Keep thanking him. Keep praising him. Keep worshiping him. And you're going to start seeing the miracles start happening to you right away.
Amen.
Okay, don't think about the past. Just focus on him, and he will start blessing
his love
you right away. Okay?
Yeah, his mercy and forgiveness.
Beauty for ashes.
Amen.
Go ahead, Nick. Why don't you finish and share with us what's on your heart?
Just really taking all these words of encouragement to heart, and it's just confirmation for me that I'm in the right place, and if I just continue on the path that I'm on, and I'm not tempted by Satan trying to tell me I'm not good enough, or I'm not deserving, or trying to make things too hard, I just, Jesus, and
Amen.
Don't listen to the enemy. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. And You know what you say to the enemy? If he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Yeah. And I just remind him he's already been defeated, too. That's a good one.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has no future. You do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, Nick, can I give your number over the radio or no?
Yes, you can, for sure.
Okay. You guys, here's his number if you want to give him a text. I know he works a lot, but just to encourage him as the Lord leads, it's 720-636-0874. Again, 720-636-0874. And we're going to lift you up. We're going to be there for you.
Say it again, Judy, one more time. You got cut off. Say it again one more time, 720.
720-636-0874.
Got it.
And we're gonna surround you, Nick. We're holding you up, and you're gonna be just fine, okay?
Okay.
Well, we have 60 seconds. The Spirit of the Bride say.
Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jerry. Love you, everybody.
Love you, Pat.
Love you, Tana. Love you, Robin. Love you, little John. Love you, Judy.
Love you, everybody.
Love you, Pat.
Love you all.
Love you, Pat.
Love you, Tana, and everybody. Just love you all. So many people love you all.
ICA.
Praise your Lord.
Hang in there.
Praise your Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Be His love to everybody. Be His Jesus Christ to everybody.
Yeah.
Pick us up, Lord. We're ready to be raptured right now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Praise your Jesus. Praise your Lord.
Praise you.